This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fihi mubarakan alayh kama yuhibbu rabbuna wa yarda jalla jalaluhu wa amma nawalu was salatu was salamu ala sayyidil habibil mustafa صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. So really nice to be in your midst today, this evening, early evening. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for being here, make it worth your while, and make it a source of benefits, inshallah. We come together to speak about these great women today. One of them is Fatima radiallahu anha. Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha. And she's quite an amazing woman. And I'm actually quite excited to speak about her, because I think this is the first time I'm speaking about her in particular. Especially about, and there's a number of things that I actually learnt while researching for this talk. First and foremost, she's considered the Sayyidatu Nisa'il Mu'mineen or Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen fi Zamaniha, which means that she is considered to be the leader of the women of her time or of her people. According to some, it's actually more general than that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam characterized her by saying that she's a part of me. So she's a part of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because she is his daughter. What's very interesting is that her mother is none other than one of the greatest women to live, which was Khadija radiallahu anha. She was a businesswoman, as you know. She was a very wealthy merchant who had originally hired the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to work for her as a person gone do business, travel with her capital. So she was an investor in that sense. And when she found him to be so trustworthy, responsible, she had a proposal sent to him, and then they got married. And then from them was born Fatima radiallahu anha. She had other sisters as well. She was born just before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became a prophet. So before he became 40 years of age, when he received his initial prophecy, that's when she was born initially. During the time when they were rebuilding the Kaaba, you know, before the Prophet ﷺ became a prophet, the Kaaba, the Quraysh, the people of Makkah, they had decided to rebuild the Kaaba. So it was during that time when she was born. Then the Prophet ﷺ had her marry Abu Ali radiallahu anhu, his nephew. So literally he married his cousin sister, right? Because his father, Abu Talib, was the Prophet's uncle. So there were cousins that got married. So it tells us that cousins can be married. What's related is that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had actually proposed proposed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for her. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, I'm waiting for some instruction about that. Then Umar radiallahu anhu proposed to her. Again, he said the same thing. And then when Ali radiallahu anhu proposed to her, then he accepted. In fact, what's mentioned is that he went to Fatima radiallahu anhu and says that, you know, Ali radiallahu anhu, Ali, he's been mentioning you. That's why he said, dhakaraki. He's been mentioning you. So she stayed silent. And generally, when it comes to virgins, in the books it's written that they generally don't jump up and yell, yeah, that's great, you know, that's who I want to marry or whatever, right? They stay silent, and it's a nice silence. It's not like an angry silence, like, no, like, you know, I'm being forced. No, it's not like that. It's a positive silence. So then he had her marry Ali radiallahu anhu. This marriage took place in the second year of Hijrah, after the migration. So she was born before the migration, right? So he had her, they got married about 2 years after the migration, just after the Battle of Badr. That was the initial battle. And mashallah, they have a number of children. Most of you will know that they had Hassan and Hussein, the Sibtain, which is the grandsons of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, most famous. They also had Muhsin. That was the third son, Muhsin. And then they had two daughters, Ummu Kulthum and Zainab radiallahu anha. They're actually the names of her aunts, because those two were also the daughters of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had three other daughters, Ruqayya, Zainab, and Umm Kulthum, aside from Fatima radiallahu anha. So it looks like these were either very popular names or she named them after her sisters. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to love Fatima radiallahu anha, just absolutely adore her and love her. And he used to honor her. So she's his daughter, but he used to honor her. And he used to have intimate discussions with her, you know, like whisper things to her. So they had a very close relationship. There's so many, she has numerous excellences, merits, and to her name, but we've got a short amount of time, so I've just picked a few things that I found. She has been characterized by one of the greatest biographers, Imam Shamsuddin al-Dhahabi, as being sabiratun, dayyinatun, khayyiratun, sayyinatun, qani'atun, shakiratun lillah. That's his few words to describe her. She was extremely patient. That is a wonderful characteristic in anybody, because you need patience in this world. If you don't have patience, you will be stressed. You will be demoralized. You'd have many problems. Dayyinatun, very religious and righteous. Khayyiratun, excellent, meritorious, beautiful. Sayyinatun, extremely protective over her chastity and just very particular in that regard. Qani'ah, very content, very satisfied with the smallest of means. And of course, Shakira lillah, extremely thankful and grateful. What a wonderful combination of characteristic. Anybody would be successful with those characteristics. Anybody would be. May Allah give us such characteristics. Fatima radiallahu anha married Ali radiallahu anhu after the marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Aisha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Aisha radiallahu anha. Actually, they came together after the migration. It was 4 months and a half after that, Ali radiallahu anhu married Fatima radiallahu anha. You know how old Fatima radiallahu anha was when she got married to Ali radiallahu anha? Anybody want to guess?
13, 14.
Where are these numbers coming from? Are they random guesses or they're calculated guesses?
I remember.
You remember something. You're very close, mashallah. Yes, you're very close. She was, to be exact, according to this narration, anyway, she was 15 years old and 15 years, 5 and a half months. 15 years, 5 and a half months, are not bad at all, 14 years. You made her a bit lower, but that's fine. Right, 15 years, 5 months and a half. It was quite traditional to be married at that time. And remember, Aisha radiallahu anha got married when she was 9. So this 15 is quite an average. And already there were people that were proposing to her. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to love her a lot. And there has been instances when he got angry for her sake. Right, there was something that happened with her. For example, Ali radiallahu anha, was the tradition of the time, so he wasn't doing anything unusual for that time. He decided to take on a second wife. And this wife was none other. I mean, he had the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but for some reason he proposed to the daughter of Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl, remember, was the arch enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had actually been killed in one of the battles, and his daughter was there. So he decided to propose to her, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wallahi la tajtami'u bintu nabiyillah wa bintu aduwillah." Right? There's no way that a daughter of a prophet and a daughter of an enemy of Allah can come together. Right? There's just absolutely no way that is going to happen. And then he says, وَإِنَّمَا فَاطِمَةُ بِضْعَةٌ مِّنِّي. Fatima is part of me. And يَرِيبَنِي مَا رَابَهَا. What troubles her, troubles me. Whatever troubles her and causes her grievance, causes me grievance. Whatever inconveniences her, causes me inconvenience as well. So after that, the Prophet Ali radiallahu anhu was very careful. After that, he never married another. In fact, according to that time, he didn't even take another concubine. He didn't even take a concubine at that time. After she passed away, then he married other women. But other than that, until she was alive with him, he never married anybody else. So he respected that from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, what's related is that when he went and made the proposal, he sent a proposal to her uncle, Abu Jahl's daughter's uncle, who was alive, Harith ibn Hisham, his name was. Then he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his original father-in-law, and he said, "I want to ask you about the daughter of Abu Jahl." So you can tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's answer. He says, "An hasabiha tas'aluni?
Are you asking me about her family lineage, her ancestry? Right? So Ali radiallahu anhu said, no, I know her family lineage. I don't need to know that. I'm asking you, أَتَأْمُرُنِي بِهَا, would you tell me to do that? Would you instruct me to marry her? Right? So you can clearly see that it wasn't a problem in marrying. It wasn't an issue of a second wife. That wasn't an issue of the time. And he said, La, of course not. Fatima is a part of me, and I know that this will begrieve her. And so then Ali radiallahu anhu said, after that, I didn't do anything that would hurt her. Very specific, very special relationship. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is on his deathbed, and Fatima radiallahu anha goes to meet him, and she's extremely grieved because they were very, very close, and she starts crying, and she says, Ya abata ila Jibril nan'a, Ya abata ajaba rabban da'a, Ya abata jannatul firdausi ma'wa. This is after he had passed away. This was her obituary, this was her expression, her lament. She said, Oh my father, to Jibreel do we complain, do we declare, do we give the news of your dying? Oh our father, he has responded to his Lord who has invited him. Oh my father, oh father, Jannatul Firdaus is his abode. In fact, before he passed away, when she came to see him, and she said, Wa karba aba, what pain is my father going through? And his response was, La karba ala abika ba'da hadha al-yawm. After today, there's going to be no pain on your father. For your father, there's going to be no pain after this. So this was afterwards. Then after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been buried, she speaks to Anas radiallahu anhu, who was the khadim who had served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years or more. And she said, she's just looking at him, and because she wasn't there at the burial, obviously, because the men, the sahaba, they took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she's just wondering, and she's saying, كَيْفَ طَابَتْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَنْ تَحْثُوَ التُّرَابَ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. How could you have, you know, how does yourself allow you? How did you feel? How comfortable did you feel in pouring the soil over the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and seeing him go, basically? Like, how did that feel to you? Now what had happened is, before he'd passed away, during the illness, right, during the illness, I mean, nobody believed that he was going to pass away. Nobody really wanted to believe that at that time. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had an idea, right? He'd got the signs. But once Fatima radiallahu anha came, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam whispered to her, and he told her that this is in during this illness of mine, I'm going to be taken. I'm going to be departing the world. So she started crying. And then he mentioned to her that, aren't you happy that you're going to be the first to meet me from my family? So you're going to be the first to depart the world and be with me eventually. And then he also told her at that time, there's various narrations about this as to exactly what the discussion was. So one of the things that he said is that he told her that you are the leader of the women of paradise. You're the leader of the women of paradise. And so she, of course, she smiled, but she hid this discussion. She only, see, Aisha radiallahu anha came to her and says, look, I remember you. I saw that you first cried when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something to you. And then after that, he said something to you and you started laughing. And I'm going to ask you, by the position that I have over you as a stepmother or whatever, right, that you must tell me what happened. She said, no way, I can't reveal his secret. Then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Aisha really wanted to know. She was very curious. So she went again and she said the same thing. She said, you must tell me now. So she said, yes, now I can tell you. And she said that this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told me, that he was going to pass away and I'm going to be the first to reach him from his family. Aisha radiallahu anha reports that Fatima radiallahu anha, once she approached, they were sitting there, and Fatima radiallahu anha approached. And she says that there was no way that you could tell the difference between the way she walked, her walking style, and the Prophet ﷺ's style. Their styles resembled each other in the way they walked. And if you want to know the style of the Prophet ﷺ, how he walked, that's mentioned in the Shama'il. It's quite amazing, the dignified way that the Prophet ﷺ used to walk. It says that he used to walk as though he is climbing down a hill, as though he's going down a slope. But he used to walk very fast, but in a very dignified way. Some very amazing. So Fatima radiallahu anha used to be like that. After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, the Khalifa became Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So she goes to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu to say that, where's our mirath? Where is our inheritance that my father has left as a piece of land and so on? What do we get? So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has reported that we as prophets do not leave wealth as inheritance. Whatever we leave, what we leave is knowledge. Whatever we leave as in wealth, that is sadaqah. That is sadaqah. Now, that was something that there's various different opinions of how she took that. And there's various different narrations of how she responded there. But she became ill thereafter anyway. And this is the particular incident that is exploited by the Shia, right, against the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that this was a conspiracy of Abu Bakr and then Umar after him, radiallahu anhu, as well, that this was just to deprive them of their inheritance. But this was a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ, and this is known for all the prophets anyway. So it's one of these. Now, then what happens is, Sha'bi relates. Sha'bi is a tabi'i. He's not a sahabi. He's a tabi'i, somebody who came afterwards. But as Abdullah ibn Umar, who is a sahabi, says, that Sha'bi had the greatest knowledge of the expeditions of the Prophet ﷺ, his ghazawat. He was the most knowledgeable one. He's a specialist on the expeditions of the Prophet ﷺ. And Abdullah ibn Umar says, what's very strange is that he wasn't even there. But he's an expert, more than I am, even though I was there. So he knows about it more than the fact that, you know, he was never there and I was there, but he still knows more about it. So he was a specialist. So this is a very interesting person who's saying this. He says that when Fatima radiallahu anha then became ill. So remember now, how many months after the Prophet ﷺ did Fatima radiallahu anha pass away? Right? So it's about 6 months. There's various opinions. Some say 3 months, some say 4 months, some say 5 months. But it's six months is kind of where what the most correct opinion seems to be. When she became ill, Abu Bakr is the Khalif, right? He is the leader of the Muslimin at that time. He comes in, seeks permission, knocks on the door, seeks permission to come in. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, Fatima, this is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, wants to come and see you. Right? So she said, would you like that I permit him? Right? Would you like that I permit him? So Imam Zahabi is relating this story. He said yes. So she asked him, would you permit that he come in? And he said yes. So Imam Zahabi says that she's basically acting on the sunnah, that this is one of the two responsibilities that a wife has, that she has to fulfill it for the husband. Right? These are the two agreed upon responsibilities that are the default responsibilities as a wife. And you know, the man has certain default responsibilities that he must provide food, shelter, clothing and so on. The woman's responsibility is two things. One is to be available whenever he wants her to be available for intimacy and sexual intercourse. The other one is to protect his assets and don't allow anybody to come into the home that he dislikes or that he wouldn't want to come in. That's it. That's the two basic, fundamental, default responsibilities. So Imam Zahabi says that is why she asked him. And when he said, yeah, that's fine, so she gave permission to come in. When he came in, he wanted to just please her. He wanted to make her happy. He wanted to please her. This is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And he said to her, that, look, whatever the case was about our exchange in the past, he must have been referring to that. He says, I've not left my own home, my wealth, my family, my entire tribe, etc., except so that I can gain the pleasure of Allah and His Messenger, and I want to gain the pleasure of the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of your family. And says, until she became pleased with him. This was just before her death. She was married at the age of 15 or so, 15 and a half. She passed away about 10 years later when she was about 25. Some say she was 29. There's some difference of opinion because they didn't have birthdays every year those days, so you didn't count candles in those days, right? It was just a rough idea that you had about these things, it seems. So that's why some say 25. The maximum anybody has said is 29. But most likely it's 25 is their opinion. So 15 to 25, she was married for about 10 years. She was younger than Zainab, her sister, the other daughter of the Prophet ﷺ. Zainab was the wife of Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi'. A long story, I don't want to go into his story, but it's very interesting. The Prophet ﷺ used to have a lot of respect for Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi' because he, whatever he promised to the Prophet ﷺ, he fulfilled. And then she was also younger than Ruqayya, the other sister, who was the wife of who? Uthman radiallahu anhu. Right? So that's Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, the third Khalif. Now what's very interesting is that aside from Fatima radiallahu anha, none of the other children, I mean none of the boys lived to an older age anyway of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even the daughters, none of them left children from whom came further children. And thus there was no progeny, there were no descendants, there were no children except from Fatima radiallahu anha. She has a progeny, so all the Sayyids today, right, all the those who claim to be or happen to be family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they all come from Fatima radiallahu anha, Ali radiallahu anha. Do we have any here? Anybody who's a Sayyid Sharif? No? Okay. I have some friends who are like that, and I find them to be the most amazing and generous people, like with good qualities. I have at least three or four friends like this, and subhanAllah, each one of them is a gem, subhanAllah. And there's so many. There is one other daughter, there is one, you know, the Zainab I mentioned, the older daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She had a daughter called Umama. She had a daughter called Umama bint Zainab, and she's the one who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam carried her while he was in prayer once. She's famously known for that, the baby that he carried. She later, can you believe it? She later, many, many years later, married Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu married her after. She married basically his wife's niece, but after the wife's death. In Islam, you can't marry an aunt and a niece together, right? But after death, you can, right? Meaning, once one is not there, then you can marry the other one. And then after that, after Ali radiallahu anhu, she married Mughira ibn Nawfal, ibn al-Harith. And from her came some children. But there doesn't seem to be that there was much of a continuation afterwards, except from Fatima radiallahu anha. But one thing you do learn from this is that it was easy for men and women to get married. Unlike today, where if a woman gets divorced, then she's going to be suffering quite a bit because there's a massive stigma that our community and our culture attaches to such a thing. It's really a sad thing. But in those days, it was quite easy. Somebody's been divorced two or three times, it'll be somebody to marry her. Somebody's lost a husband, somebody's going to marry her. Then somebody's going to marry her after the second one as well. It's quite normal in those days for that to happen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once with Fatima and her husband Ali and their two sons. He had a shawl of some sort. He covered them all with it and he said, "Allahumma ha'ula'i ahlu bayti." Oh Allah, these are my household. These are the people of my house. Allahumma fa'adhhib anhum ar-rijs wa tahhirhum tathira. Remove any filth and remove any dirt from them. Remove any pollution from them and purify them entirely. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at Ali and Fatima and Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhum, and he said, "Ana harbun liman harabakum, silmun liman salamakum." I am at war with anybody who's at war with you, and I am at peace with anybody who's at peace with you. He loved them hugely. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reports, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said once that an angel has just descended upon me and he has given me the glad tidings that Fatima is Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, is the leader of the women of paradise. So this was a glad tiding that he gave her, and she was of course very happy with that. Now, if you think that this was the wonderful daughter, the beloved daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you think she would be spoiled, right? Because today that's what people would probably do, right? That's what we kind of have. I created an image of Fatima radiallahu anha to you. Do you think she's spoiled? Would you assume that she'd be spoiled because of all of this? Right? If he loved her so much, he actually honored her. He said all of these things for her. Would you think she'd be spoiled? Right? I mean, some of you may have crossed your mind that a person would never do anything, would never say anything untoward. I mean, he wouldn't anyway. But listen to this. This was the ultimate father who showed the ultimate respect to his children. But at the same time, he was also the ultimate murabbi and nurturer and father who did the right thing. So he taught them the best of morals and manners. And he told them how to live in this world and how to focus on the hereafter. So Thawban relates that once the Prophet ﷺ came to visit Fatima, and I was there, and she had on a gold necklace, a golden chain, a gold chain on around her neck. And she said, she just commented, she said that this is what Abul Hassan gave me, meaning the Abul Hassan is her husband, the father of Hassan, right? Ali radiallahu anhu has given me. So immediately the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, "Ya Fatima, ayasurruki an taqul an-nas?" Is it going to make you happy that people say, "This is Fatima bint Muhammad. This is the Fatima, daughter of Muhammad, and she has this chain of fire in her hand." He didn't even refer to it as gold. He said, "Chain of fire in her hand," and then he just left. That was just enough. Look at the love between them. It wasn't haram for her to have the necklace. You have to remember that. It's just the preference of the Prophet ﷺ for himself and for his children was that they not have any riches of this world, because he wanted all of that to be for them in the hereafter. This was a very personal thing. This is not something that, you know, you must now get rid of your gold necklaces. Of course, please feel free to do so if you want to be like her, right? But it doesn't mean that it's haram or something, right? As soon as he left, she sold that necklace and bought a slave with that necklace, with the value of that, and then she freed that slave. What a wonderful way of getting reward. One is you could have just sold it and disposed of it, right? But or just gotten rid of it. But she sold it, bought a slave, and then freed that slave. Subhanallah, what an intelligence, right? To get double the reward. Because Islam has this huge encouragement to free slaves wherever you find them. And that time there were many slaves around. So that was Islam's way of emancipating them. And then when the Prophet ﷺ heard about this, words reached the Prophet ﷺ that's what she had done. He said, "Alhamdulillah, alladhi najja Fatimata minan nar." All praises to Allah who saved Fatima from the hellfire. May Allah bless her. Imam Abu Dawud relates this narration. And that's why Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu relates that the most superior women of the people of paradise is Khadija and Fatima, according to this narration. And then there's the other narration that you mentioned earlier, in which there's Asiya as well, that was the wife of Pharaoh. She is one of the greatest women. And then who's the other one you mentioned? Maryam, alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam's mother. As I'd mentioned to you, that she had how many daughters? She had three sons and she had two daughters, right? Umm Kulthum, and she had Umm Kulthum and Zainab. Umm Kulthum, do you know who she was married to? Anybody want to venture a guess? No. No, this is Umm Kulthum, the daughter of Fatima and Ali radiallahu anh. So she had Umm Kulthum and she had Zainab. I'll tell you about Zainab, right? Zainab, her daughter, was married to Abdullah ibn Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. So again, within family, right? Because Ali radiallahu anh's brother is Ja'far, right? So this is basically cousins. But then the other daughter, Umm Kulthum, is married to none other than Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anh. It's quite amazing. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anh, his daughter was married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he said that that's my daughter married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want connection with the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he proposed to Ali radiallahu anh, "Can I marry your daughter?" Who was much younger than him. And Ali radiallahu anh said, "Look, that's fine. I'll send her to you. If you like her, you can marry her." Right. So she went, and Umar radiallahu anh said, gave her a response to tell her father, and he said, "Okay, fine, you can marry her." So Umm Kulthum was married to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anh, so much her senior. But there's a very interesting story related about this. Once there was a person who had problems with his wife. She would speak very aggressively to him. She would basically shout at him and so on, right? Speak back at him, however you want to say this. And he was upset. So he says, "Let me go and tell Umar radiallahu anh, the Amir al-Mu'mineen," because there was the time of Umar was the Amir al-Mu'mineen at the time, radiallahu anh. So she went to him. No, he goes to his house, Umar radiallahu anh's house, knocks on the door. And as he's knocking, he hears this big commotion inside. There's a woman who's shouting at somebody, a man. There's a woman shouting at a man. Now, what would you assume? That it's the wife shouting at the husband. So he thinks to himself, what's the point of me coming here? He's got the same problem. So he started dejected. He started walking away. After a while, Umar opens the door and he says, hey you, where are you? Where are you going? You know, why don't you wait up? So he comes back and he says, what do you need? He says, well, you know, he... So he says, no, tell me what you need. He says, well, I came to you to tell you something, but I found out that you've got the same problem. So he says, what is it? He said, look, this is, I've got a problem with my wife. She speaks back at me, she speaks loudly at me, or whatever the case is. So Umar radiallahu anhu said that you don't know. He says, she cooks for me. She cleans my clothes. She does this, she does that. She is my protection against zina and fornication. And she does all of these other things. How can I then treat her harshly? This is the sabr that you have to do, right? There's going to be these quirks within a marriage, right? There are going to be these quirks in marriage. You just have to do that. She's so much his junior. And he said, now he could have easily made an excuse. Oh, she was shouting on the phone at somebody. She was on the phone with somebody. Well, there were no phones at that time. But you know what I mean? I mean, imagine you got caught with your wife shouting at you. What are you going to say? Oh, she was shouting on somebody on the phone. She wasn't shouting at me, right? Or she was shouting at the slave or the servant or whatever the case is. But no, he was very upfront about this. He said, that's what she is. I mean, she gives me everything else that I need. Okay, I have to deal with some of this. Right? Of course, that doesn't give the women the license to do this kind of weird stuff. But I'm just saying that this is just something you have to tolerate between husband and wife. There's many things we can learn from these things. Ali radiallahu anhu once said to his mother, now this was the distribution of responsibility in the house. I think it's quite amazing actually. Ali radiallahu once goes to his mum and he says that Akfi Fatima al-Khidmata Kharijan. I take care of all the responsibilities outside the house. So Fatima doesn't have to go out and do anything. I do the shopping, I do everything. Right? Meaning I do whatever needs to be done outside the house. And she does everything inside the house. So whatever's in the house, she does that. I do everything that's outside the house. So basically he says, well, ajin, wal khubz, wal tahan, she does all of the grinding. And in those days you had to grind. You didn't have, you know, mixers and grinders and things like that. She had to literally do it with her hand. There's famous stories about that when the Prophet saw that. And she does all the baking and everything like that. There's a bit of another version that's mentioned that once an angel came to visit me, came and sought permission to see me, and he gave me the glad tidings that Fatima will be the leader of the women in paradise. And in this one it says that Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhum will be the leaders of the youth of paradise. Say leader of the youth of paradise. Everybody's going to be a youth in paradise. Because everybody's going to be about 33 or so years old, 30 to 33 years old. It's a very interesting statement then. Aisha radiallahu anha, now remember she's like a stepmother, right, to Fatima radiallahu anha. She says that I've never seen anybody more resembling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in speech than the Prophet, than Fatima radiallahu anha. She resembled the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even in the way she spoke. When she would enter to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would stand up in to honor her, to welcome her. How many parents have you seen do that? To stand up to honor their daughter, or even their son for that matter. Right? It's like, okay, just come and sit down here, man. Right? I mean, I'm sure there's people who do that, but this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to stand up to welcome her. فَقَبَّلَهَا. He kissed her. وَرَحَّبَ بِهَا. And welcomed her. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. He welcomed her. And وَكَذَلِكَ كَانَتْ هِيَ تَصْنَعُ بِهِ. This is exactly what she used to do for him as well. This was just their wonderful relationship. Aisha radiallahu anha also reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once called Fatima. And this is that story, I'm not going to go over it again. This is that story when he invited her once just during his illness and he then whispered to her. Aisha radiallahu anha says that Fatima radiallahu anha remained alive for about 6 months, and then after that she was buried at night. She specifically requested, now listen to this. Waqidi says that Abbas radiallahu anhu was the one who performed the prayer on her, and he, Ali and Fadl ibn Abbas, relatives, they were in the grave to bury the body. She died specifically on a Tuesday night. the 3rd of Ramadan, Tuesday night, 3rd of Ramadan, in the according to this, the 17th year. So it was either in the 17th year, while she was 17, no, she was 27 years old according to this one. So we had 25 or 27 or 29. We've got three opinions about this. Ummu Ja'far relates that Fatima once, radiallahu anha, said to Asma bint Umays, she said, "You know what? I really don't like the way they treat the women's bodies. Ma yusna'u bin nisa. I really don't like the way they deal with women's bodies after they're dead." Right? Just look at the modesty that she has. It's amazing. The modesty she has. I just don't like. What they do is, they just throw a cloth on her, which fayasifuha, which means that it reveals what's underneath. In the sense that when you just throw a cloth on a dead body, it's not going to be very concealing because it goes over the shape of the body. And she didn't like that. She was complaining about that. So Asma bint Umays, who had been to Abyssinia, she said, "Oh, daughter of the Prophet, or Messenger of Allah, let me show you something that I used to see in Habasha, in Abyssinia." Now remember, nobody had ever done this here before. Right? They used to just put a cloth on and people could see the form, basically, right? So she says, "Let me show you what the Habashi people used to do." So she called for some moist sticks, right? Some pieces of wood. And she put them together into a structure, and then she put the cloth on top of it. So she literally made like a covering, a canopy, in a sense. And Fatima said, "Wow, ma ahsana hadha wa ajman. This is wonderful, this is beautiful. And when I die, then make sure you and Ali give me the bath. Make sure it's you and Ali that bathe me and wash me. And nobody else should come. Nobody else should be present. Only you two should do this." So then when she did pass away, and they were bathing her, Aisha radiallahu anha comes along. And she wants to enter, and Asma says, "No, you can't come in." So she goes and tells Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who's the Khalif, right? Her father. She goes and tells Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So he comes along, and he stands by the door, and he spoke to Asma. And she said, "Look, this is her instructions, right? This is what Fatima had told me before death." So he says, "Okay, fine. Fasna'i do what she told you to do. That's fine." And then they turned away. My uncle just passed away recently, and he was a student of this famous sheikh in Pakistan. And I remember reading the biography and the final testament of that sheikh in Pakistan. Mufti Rashid, his name was. And I specifically remember at that time reading, this was years ago, I read this. And I was just reminded of it when my uncle passed away and his wife told us, because I was part of the bathing. He had instructed the sheikh, the grand sheikh had instructed that when I die, have four people stand on four corners of where I'm laying down, where they're gonna wash my body, and have them hold a cloth above me. What generally happens if anybody's taken part in washing the deceased is that they put a cloth on top and then they wash from underneath. So they're putting the water in, they're going like this. But the problem is that it's not very concealing in the sense that it allows parts to be kind of revealed in a sense. So I remember reading that then I thought, wow, this guy really thinks. You can see where this comes from now. Fatima had that same idea. Then my uncle, he said to his wife, he was a mufti, he said the same thing. So when we started washing, I was told this, that auntie has said that you hold a cloth over. Now they didn't understand what that meant. It completely clicked to me just then. I said, okay, I completely know where it's coming from. So I got four people to hold a cloth on the side. So you kind of hold it from above the corner so that there's a drape. Right? And to be honest, what I suggested to people is that you should just actually make a frame. So you put the person in there, you put the cloth over, and then you can just easily do it. Otherwise what happens is, I don't know about you if you've seen this, but when somebody is being washed, a ton of family members come along and they all want to watch. Now it's nice that they learn, but the problem is that it gets very difficult from afar to keep it covered, because the people who are standing there, so if this is where the burial is going on, the washing is going on, I can't see what's underneath, but somebody who's standing far apart, they can see. And that's actually not very nice. And while people don't mean to expose anything, it gets exposed sometimes, so you just need to be careful. In fact, on another occasion, she told Asma radiallahu anha that, you know, I'm so embarrassed that I'm going to be taken out among the men tomorrow. Tomorrow means when she dies. She just had so much huge amount of modesty and bashfulness that she just didn't want to be exposed in front of men. Now today, when you look at these things and you think that this is just all backwardness, this is against liberalism, this is too conservative, it's coming from the Prophet. It's coming from the Prophet's daughter. I mean, this is from the lion's mouth we're speaking, right? This is not some scholars telling you to do this. This is not somebody who hates women who is doing this. This is a woman where this is coming from. That she had so much modesty. She's saying to Asma radiallahu anha, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَحِي أَنْ أُخْرَجْ غَدًا عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنْ خِلَالِ جِسْمِي. I'm fearful tomorrow. I'm so embarrassed tomorrow that I'm going to be taken out tomorrow among men, in terms of my body is going to be carried by men. So in this one it says that أَوَلَا نَصْنَعِ لَكَ لَكِ شَيْئًا رَأَيْتُ بِالْحَبْشَةِ. Shouldn't I make that canopy thing for you that I made in Habasha? And so she made that canopy. So then Fatima gave her a dua. She said, سَتَرَكِ اللَّهِ كَمَا سَتَرْتِنِي. May God conceal you just like the way He concealed me. May He conceal your sins or whatever the case is. So then Ibn Abdul Barr mentions that she was the first person in Islam to be covered that way when being taken. Anas radiallahu anhu reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for about 6 months after they were married, after Fatima and Ali radiallahu anhu, there's numerous stories about this, but for about 6 months, every time he would go past their house for Fajr, right? He would go past their house for Fajr and he would say, As-salat ya ahl bayti Muhammad. As-salat ya ahl bayti Muhammad. Prayer, prayer, O household of Muhammad. Innama yuridu Allah liyuthhiba ankum ar-ritsa ahl al-bayti wa yutahhirakum tathira. That Allah only wants to remove the filth from you, remove any impurity from you, O household of the Prophet, and He wants to purify you. Fatima radiallahu anha has related a number of hadith which you'll find in the six books. She's related from her father, obviously directly. Fatima relates from her father. And some of her students, meaning those who've related from her, are Aisha, Umm Salama, Anas ibn Malik, and a number of others. She's got a number of narrations in Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, and other books. And I think I'll just leave it there. But there's a lot more stories in that about her, but I kept it to this, and inshallah this has been insightful for us and inshallah inspirational. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.